And Father, we just thank you that, wow, you've given us your word. You've given us your prophetic word, which tells us about the last days. And as we, your people, have been looking at it for years, Lord, it just seems like we're getting to that closing act of human history on earth. And especially as this war starts to develop between Ukraine and Russia, which, although not directly related to anything prophetic in your scripture for this war, it does have a profound prophetic significance in the big picture. And we just pray that you would open up our eyes to your word and have the right attitude as Christians in this world about this conflict. And God, I just pray for that you'd help me to communicate the truth, Lord, in the way that you would want it to be taught today if you were here to tell us, your people, your sheep, God, what you want us to do. And God, as much as I tried, I know I can fail, and I pray that you would just give your sheep discernment about what to receive and what to reject over anything I would say that would be contrary to you, Lord. And we thank you for this time to gather together and seek you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, here we are. The world's in quite a chaos here. And just to date this, February 27th, 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. And actually, they did a military action in Ukraine. they don't want to use the word invasion because they don't want to go in there and take it, according to their statements. So it's like, we've got to do that. You know, they're acting like and saying, we just have to do this for our own survival. We don't want to take Ukraine. We are the largest land mass country in the world with only 150 million people. We don't need more land. Well, and I've given you three handouts. One is this map of Ukraine and all those cities that we don't want to even think about pronouncing. But what I wanted to point out, particularly in this map, as it pertains to the history, because what we're going to do is, why is this conflict happening? And we're going to look at some history here briefly. And what we have to know about this history is the Black Sea. You can see the Black Sea, and in the middle, top north part of the Black Sea is a peninsula called Crimea, in that kind of brown color. And you can see that Crimea is separated from Ukraine, which is the green, and Russia, which is the kind of yellow off to the right. And yet there are bridges and other things that connect. And actually, the bridge at the Kerch Strait to the Sea of Azov, Russia, when they annexed Crimea in 2014, they built that bridge to say, now, this one's ours now, from now on. And we're going to explain that. So that's very, very important. And you can see the Poland's off to the west. Belarus is to the north. And Russia's to the north and east. And the Black Sea is to the south of Ukraine. And Russia has invaded in this last week from Belarus, from Russia, and from the sea. They've been invading Ukraine through landing people, and they own Crimea, as we're going to get to in a minute. And what I'm really hoping to achieve is, you know, look at the background, look at the big picture of why this is happening. That why is this happening from a spiritual history of the world view from God's word? And then to answer the question, well, whose side should we be on? Who should we be rooting for? And then to have Q&A after that to discuss any questions that you might have. But just a little bit of history, and some of you might not even remember the Soviet Union days, the Cold War, you know, and just close to nuclear war in the 60s and everything else. But in April 1954, the USSR, the Soviet Union, which included Ukraine, the Soviet Union gave control of Crimea to Ukraine. It had been Russian, but see, the Soviet Union included Ukraine, which had been a separate country. The Soviet Union took over that area, said, hey, we'll let you run Ukraine, Crimea. And then in August of 1991, Ukraine was no longer part of the Soviet Union. As the Soviet Union fell apart when, you know, glasnost, perestroika, Gorbachev, everything in the Wall of Berlin went down, and Russia stopped, the Soviet Union stopped dominating all of these countries, Ukraine declared its independence from the Soviet Union. And so the Soviet Union kind of disintegrated, and some of these nations that controlled, like Belarus, Poland, etc., they then went off to go be independent. So from 1991, though, until 2014, Ukraine was still somewhat friendly to Russia. They have history. You know, there was history between Ukraine and Russia. Some of it not so good, because the Russians under Stalin, when the Bolshevik Revolution took over and Stalin has taken over and bringing about the Soviet Union, the Ukrainian breadbasket over in the western area of Ukraine, there were farmers, owned their own farmers, but who owns land in a communist system? Nobody owns land. And so Stalin came in there and go, you know what? Your land is now part of the collective land. And the farmers go, you got to be kidding me. This has been in my family for years, and we're going to grow grain and sell it like we always do. Nope. So Russia just sent in its troops. Stalin sent in his troops and took all the food and starved. You know, there's different reports, 1 million, 3 million. Millions of Ukrainians died just by Russia stealing it. So there's really, really bad blood between Ukraine and Russia from Stalin, which was like 30-some, right around 1930s. So we're talking 90 years ago. So this is bad blood from 90 years ago. So, but then, under Obama and Biden and Victoria Nuland, who was an undersecretary of state at the time and now is under Biden getting back in office, she's the undersecretary of state again. Under them, they used Nazis, kind of like how Biden used the BLM in our country to create havoc and take over and everything. They used the Nazis that were in Ukraine to topple the pro-Soviet, or going along with the Soviet, the Russians, I should say. You know, I got to be careful. Soviet Union is different than Russia. So used them to topple the pro-Russian president and to install our puppet, corrupt puppet, of the West. And this is the guy that Biden and Hunter and stuff were corruption and all the millions of dollars and phone calls between, you know, that's what got all this corruption that came up in our last election cycle about what's Hunter going over there and getting paid millions of dollars for being on these things. We started bribing and extorting the government of Ukraine to do what we wanted them to do, NATO and the United States, to prepare to become the southern front into Russia. They were starting to make motions that, okay, now you're with us, you're not with Russia, and so we're going to start doing things to make you be part of NATO. So Putin, he saw that. And so, and by the way, NATO has 30 allies and partners. So, and there's an Article 5 in the NATO alliance that any attack on a NATO member requires all the NATO members, 30 countries, to come and destroy the attacker. So, and that's, they're obligated under contract of NATO. And so then Biden and Obama were working to get Ukraine ready to become a NATO member. And then if Russia attacks them because they're moving in to put first strike weapons or anything else to, you know, if they were to attack them like they're doing now with them as a NATO member, what does that require? That they go to war with all 30 NATO allies and members. So, what did Putin do when he saw us put a puppet government in there that was going to be accomplishing that? He took Crimea. Because if you look at Crimea, there's a Sevastopol, which has been a Russian, it's Russian naval access to the Black Sea. So if Ukraine is no longer friendly with Russia and Russia gave it to Ukraine while it was the Soviet Union because, you know, hey, we're all part of the same team. And now they see that Ukraine's not going to be part of the same team. What's the first thing that they're going to do strategically is take Crimea and then kick the Russians out of their port to the Mediterranean. And so what did Russia do? They took over Crimea, which was not a problem because the Crimeans, you know, good or bad, they liked the Russians. They voted, we want you to take us instead of Ukraine. They didn't have to fire a shot. They just moved into Crimea and said, sorry, that's now ours. You're not going to do this. And they built the bridge, and they say, there is no turning back from this because we know we are on the path to destruction if we let you do this. So that was 2014. Right after the coup d'etat. I mean, as soon as we coup d'etat'd the Ukrainian president that was friendly to Russia, then immediately Russia saw what was going on and they took Crimea back. Well, as soon as they took Crimea back, the West goes, oh, no, you can't do this, and we start putting sanctions on Russia. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on a Sunday after service, and I'll repeat it. Just to understand, and I watched Putin tell, you know, the translation, you know, I watched him personally in Russian, speaking to his people with subtitles. What the West is trying to do is to tie up the bear. And when they tie up the bear, they're going to defang the bear. And when they defang the bear, they're going to take what the bear has. And that ain't going to happen. So yes, we took Crimea. Yes, they're sanctioning us. We're going to live through it. But the alternative is to give in to the Western New World Order plan, to destroy us as a nation state, to keep in charge of our own resources and to sell our, you know, they have trillions of dollars worth of gas, natural gas, fossil fuels, everything else. And they think they want to shut us all down and take what we have. And he says, I'm not going to let it happen. That's 2014. He's saying that. And I said 2 weeks ago, that was during the last Olympics, 4 years ago. It was the Sochi Olympics 8 years ago. So it was right at that same time he was giving that warning to his people. And his people go, yes, yeah, we don't want, we'll take sanctions. We do not want NATO to take over us, to surround us and make us surrender. So Russia is being surrounded by NATO with first strike capability. Only Ukraine, Sweden, and Finland are not yet members. And that would completely surround Russia except for its east side. So NATO moving in from the west. They're coming in, surrounding Russia. And look how, from a military standpoint, the southern flank is extremely important. And if the west takes over Ukraine, they can put first strike weapons right at the border with Ukraine, and now the flight from those weapons and from Romania and from Romania and Poland can reach Moscow and missile silos that are aimed at the West for deterrence in the mutually assured destruction way of the Cold War could take them out before they could launch. And so Russia sees, you know, I mean, they're getting ready to just say, either you do what we tell you to do or push. One night when you least expect it, the missiles will come in, your command centers, Moscow will be gone, your silos will be gone, you won't be able to retaliate against us, and you'll be smoldering ruins, so just give up. That really is the plan of the Western New World Order. And Russia's saying no. And as of today, right, it might have been yesterday, because of, you know, the time difference, you know, exactly when it was, but Russia just put its nuclear triad system onto as full of alert as you can before striking. Because they're saying, we want you to know that if you think, oh, we can just hit them with something that's quick enough that they're not going to be able to respond, they've removed some of the delay. You know, for the president to say, okay, go to alert, now you get alert, and you put in your codes, and you turn the switches, and you do this, do that, whatever their system is. What Putin did today is he took out some of the time delay. To let us know that if we do something that is gonna annihilate Russia and we think that we can launch nuclear missiles and get them before they launch on us, he's trying to say, maybe you're not gonna get away with that because we're on a hair trigger. That's where we're at today. So, So what did Russia try to do to avoid this war? They have for months been demanding to have legally binding agreements with them by NATO and nations to not let Ukraine become NATO, for obvious reasons that we would do if we were Russia. We don't want you to make them NATO. We don't want you to put first strike weapons in here. And if you guarantee us in a legal way that that's not going to happen, and you pull some of your other first strike weapons that we know you put into Romania and Poland, if you do that, then we're done. We're good. You know, they're being accused, Putin is the new czar that is wanting to become the head of the new Soviet Union Republican stuff. But I think he's honest in saying, I just want you to make a promise to me that you won't destroy us for not doing what you tell us to do. And if we would have done that, there wouldn't have been a war, in my opinion, which could be wrong. You know, maybe Putin is just playing us all and he really wants to go be, the ruler of the world, but his pattern over the last years is, under Trump, as soon as Trump came into power and he saw that Trump doesn't want to wipe out Russia, everything went quiet. And as soon as Biden gets back in, he starts hammering, gets Victoria Nuland back in, and starts getting this whole thing going again. So when they surrounded the nation, said, we're not wanting to invade. We're just doing our military drills. And so now people say, oh, see, they lied. They're doing their military drills, and they told the West, we will go to war if you militarily try and take Crimea or if you make Ukraine NATO. And what he understood is when he said, don't be NATO, and you have all of NATO saying, Ukraine can do what it wants to, and we can do what we want to, and we want Ukraine to be NATO, and Ukraine says, we want to be NATO, and the president of Ukraine says, we want to be NATO and have nuclear weapons on our territory. And so, Putin didn't wait for them to do it. He just said, okay, we're moving in, and we're going to take out the garbage. His plan, his public announcement is, we're done, when we take out the garbage, get rid of all the Nazis that have been used to take over Ukraine and turn it into a puppet of the West, put in a government that is not insane, and then we move out. And we make sure it never happens again. And that you Western Ukrainians don't bomb the Russian people on the east side of this river. So there's Russians, more of a Russian culture on the east of that river there, and the Ukrainians of the West, they don't like them, and so they've been shelling them, and there's been a civil war, thousands have died, and Russia has an affection to not let people slaughter their own people that are living in Ukraine that used to be part of the Soviet Union, therefore part of Russia. And so that's what Putin has been saying. So what's the current status of the conflict? Is souls are going into eternity on all sides. I mean, people are dying. And really, as Christians, we should be concerned of the deceptions that have led us to this war, the arrogance. You know, why does the West have to rule the world? Why can't we empathize with the Russians like we wanted them to empathize with us when they were putting nuclear weapons in Cuba? And we're ready to go into nuclear war for that. Why can't we empathize for each other and say, we are trying to kill them, so why should we do that? Why should we make an entire nation do what we want them to do? And so because we didn't give them legally binding agreements, contracts, now a bunch of people are dying. Millions and billions of dollars worth of destruction, millions and billions of dollars worth of military industrial complex, nice weapons to kill people and destroy things are flying both ways. And Russian mobile nuclear missile launchers are on the road, ready to go at any moment. And who knows what our side's doing, ready to do nukes and all this stuff. And everything could change. And we're starting to threaten them. We're going to shut down your ability to trade globally in what is called the SWIFT system, which allows all countries to buy and sell and trade through the dollar denomination of the world reserve currency to just trade your stuff. We're going to cut you out of that. That's like cutting off your bank account. It's like what Canada did to all the truckers and just said, oh, you're not doing what we want you to do. We'll cut your bank account off. You know, and there was dozens of Canadian trucking companies were shut down because they were cut off from ability to do business. And all these people, I just was a truck driver saying, I don't feel like I want to get jabbed, and I don't want you to tell me that I've got to have a jab certificate to cross the border to do anything. And so, oh, really, you're not doing what we told you to do. Boom, cut them off. And now we're doing the same thing with a nation. And what are they going to do? You know, so we go tit, what do they do? Tat. And then we're going to cut off this, tit, tat. And pretty soon this could escalate, as this this article says. This is a pretty amazing article. U.S. government just admitted this is a war that will determine who will rule the new world order. Written by Michael Snyder, but I pulled it off of the Tyler Durden site, and this is dated February 26th, yesterday, 2022. Very, very good. We'll go over some of the quotes on that in a little bit. So whose side should the Christian be on, and who wins the war to control the world? Okay, before Jesus wins, of course we know Jesus wins in the end. But before Jesus wins, does Russia win the ability to control the world? No. Does China? No. Does the West? Yes. According to the Word of God, as we're going to see. So we're all worried about what's going to happen with China and Taiwan and everything else. But ultimately, when the global religion of the global government of the Antichrist is established, according to the Word of God, the global leader will be coming out of Europe, i.e. West. Because the West is working with Europe, NATO, everything. So NATO's going to win. That doesn't mean it's going to win before millions, tens of millions, billion people die and destruction has occurred. But they will be, and we'll see that in our scriptures. So turn to Genesis 11:1. And what I'm going to do here is lay down the perimeter of the puzzle. I'm not going to try and get into the details of the puzzle pieces, which everybody else is doing, but because everything, what the Christian should think, is stuff that we know. You know, things that we just know, how God has interacted with man and how man has been historically in rebellion with God in the past, in the present, and what the Bible tells us is going to be in the future. So this is the perimeter. So in Genesis 11:1, after the flood, you would think that people would have realized for at least a few thousand years that we shouldn't cross up on our Creator, wouldn't you think? He can destroy the world with a flood. I think we ought to obey Him. His laws are good. He's a good God. We should do that. Did they do that? No, they didn't do that. Now the whole world had one language, one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to the heaven, is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let us make a name for ourselves so that God can't get us again. Got us in the flood. We're going to build a tower. Josephus said that the reason they built a tower as high as they could is go ahead and try and flood us again. We'll run to the top of our tower. You know, just man shaking their fist at God. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So now let's let this sink in. What does God see about His creation, created in His image? The capability of man when united globally, because at the time this is globally, because they're there in Shinar repopulating the world. But what does God see that man can do if they want to pursue evil? What are they going to be able to do? Anything they think. They'll be able to ultimately mess with genetics and mix humans with animals. They'll be able to do all this, create biological weapons and release them down to the building blocks of life and DNA and mRNA and everything. They'll be able to corrupt and kill and do anything they want to do. So God didn't want us to do that. And so he says, come, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, capital U-S, not capital U, and then S, not, you know, anyway. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they, over all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So God says, if they're unified, they will do evil, and they'll have to be destroyed again. So I'm going to scatter them. And why? Because if you scatter a people, let's turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 24. If you scatter a people and you have the witness of God in the world through his creation and everything else, some people, some nations are going to worship God, and some are not. By the witness of Abraham, Isaac, you know, later on, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, what the word that gets out about the laws of this all-powerful God that the Jews are worshiping, and there'll be people over the centuries, millennia, that will be able to have a fear of God. And that's what Paul says to the Greeks when he spoke at Mars Hill to them, witnessing to them about the true God. In Acts 17:24, it says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. This man is always making temples and making idols for the temples and making stuff with their hands and worshiping what their hands can make. You know, let's make a name for ourselves. And Paul is always trying to tell idol worshippers, stop thinking about what you can do and what the Creator did. And nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he is made from one blood, every nation of men. We're human beings. Not, you know, again, no race issues here in the Bible. One blood, every nation of men to dwell from all the face of the earth. So there's, again, not that there aren't races, but there shouldn't be racism, according to the Bible. To dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Does God want us to have boundaries around our nations? Yes, he does. Why? Because he knows if you erase the boundaries and you all figure out a way to undo the Babel effect through Google Translate and all this other stuff, and you become one language again and become one people to unify the world, you're going to do it to make evil sweep the world. And so he wants us to be separate. He wants us to be in our own countries, in our own cultures. Pre-appointed times and boundaries for their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, that any nation could at any time seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are an offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold and silver or stone, meaning idols, something shaped by art and man's devising. And Paul is doing it this at the Areopagus. I might have said this wrong. Anyway, he's on Mars Hill. That's what it is. And there's idols. There's idols all over because the Greeks just wanted to make sure. And then they had, to the unknown God, in case we missed one. And then Paul says, I'm going to talk to you about this one. This one is the true God. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that we can shape them into idols. Truly, verse 30, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Who's that? Jesus. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we'll hear more about this. So, later, and it goes on from there. So here we have Old Testament, God deliberately spread off the nations, confuse them so that they would stay separate. And we see Paul saying, yeah, that's what God wants, so that any nation, any time. But what kept the Babylonians from forever ruling the world? The Medo-Persians. What happened from the Medo-Persians ruling the world forever? The Greeks. What kept the Greeks from ruling the world forever? The Romans. What kept Hitler from ruling the alliance? What kept, so in other words, somebody comes horribly wicked and evil, filled with Satan, wanting to wipe out the Jewish people. There's somebody else. And so if you unify into a global government, what's going to stop the leader doing something completely wicked and evil? Nobody. Now, so Satan's pretty smart. Satan has been thinking for millennia, I got to undo the Babel effect. I got to unify mankind. I got to get them all to believe, to live locally, think globally, that they need to put down their different nationality affections and just be one world government so we can stop conflict and war. See, this war that's coming, what is it going to do? It's going to make people go, we got to stop this. How did this get started? Ukraine says, you can't come in. The Ukraine president says, don't give me a flight to get out of here. Give me bullets. I'm going to go keep Ukraine going. And Russia says, no, you can't be doing this when you want to kill us. And, so isn't that the history of the world? The history of the world, where do wars come from among us? According to James chapter 4, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask it amiss. And so you have globally people that think they're in charge and they should rule the world without God because they reject God. And they go, I want to control the world. And they're gonna accomplish it according to the Word of God. And so this war that is happening and could escalate severely is ultimately playing into the hands of Satan to globalize the world, where the world will say, stop it. Get rid of nuclear weapons, disarm everybody, turn 194 nations that could all get in a tiff at one another. Let's go down to 10. Let's have the 10 nations that are ruled by one supreme leader, the Antichrist. And nobody will be able to make war again, and we'll be able to stop these trillions of dollars of military spending. Everybody will get their virtual reality helmets and live in bliss with their helicopter money coming down and giving them food as long as they're a good comrade and they do everything that we say. And everybody will be happy. They won't own anything, but they'll be happy, which is what the World Economic Forum President Klaus Schwab has told the world. We're going to do a great reset imminently. They're saying, we're going to, and some of them said, never let a crisis go to waste. Well, we have a crisis going on right now over in Ukraine, and they're not going to let it go to waste. This is all going to move us closer to global government. Now, how do we know global government's coming? Daniel 2, next section of scripture here. And I know, we should get through this before Q&A. I'm hoping to go less than an hour and then Q&A on this. But Daniel was given the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And the dream Nebuchadnezzar was given to see all the way into the end. Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the fourth kingdom is yet future to us. It's being formed before our eyes because of the events that we're seeing. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, 10 toes, partly of potter's clay, partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. Now, by the way, I'm blowing through this as far as the interpretation of these things, and you can listen to our study on Daniel chapter 2 online at calvarypo.org, and you can get the details of this. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Don't you think it would be a little bit hard to hold the whole world together into a 10-nation global empire? Because you can erase the border between USA and Canada and USA and Mexico, And but is everybody going to be just, oh, we're all one family now? There's going to be problems. And so it's going to be a little bit difficult, but the iron, the force of being able to kill anybody that gets out of line, is going to be there to keep them together. And in the days of these kings, so there will be 10 kings, the 10 toes or 10 kings, last days, kingdom of the Antichrist. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Who's that? Jesus, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. And so, and I'm going to skip verse 45, which is in your notes. So how do we know that there's going to be a 10-nation global empire just before Jesus comes back? Because of chapter 2. It says, at the time that there is a global 10-nation empire on earth, Jesus is going to come and put an end to it. And we see that in Revelation. Now go to Daniel chapter 7, which makes it clear it's the whole earth. So Daniel in chapter 7, he has his own vision about four beasts instead of these four kingdoms in the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And so God is telling Daniel what the meaning of this fourth beast is. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, global kingdom after Babylon, including Babylon, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour, what? The whole earth. Trample it, break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And going down to 25, talking about the Antichrist, he, the Antichrist, shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints. Anybody that, during the tribulation period when he's in charge, anybody that worships God is going to be persecuted of the high, and shall intend to change the times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for time and time, times, half time, the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, which you can go to Revelation and, you know, learn about that through our Revelation study. The last 3.5 years, God is going to give everybody that fears God, believes in Jesus, in the tribulation period, is going to be given into the hand of the Antichrist to be destroyed. So the tribulation saints are going to be killed in the last, you know, they missed the rapture. They go into the tribulation period because of the witnesses of the 144,000, the 2 witnesses in Jerusalem, you know, reading their Bibles that you left behind for them, whatever else. They're going to come to saving faith in Jesus, and the Antichrist, the last 3.5 years, is going to go on a hunt down for everybody that is non-compliant. And I'll think about that in light of think about this from the truckers in Canada. You know, they're just, and the people that donate it, you know, I'm going to donate. I really want those truckers to be able to refill their tanks. And then all of a sudden, some hacker, the intel community of the New World Order, releases the names of every single person that gave. And then the Canadians go through and, oh, mother, single mother of 4 kids, you gave $50. Boom, we're shutting your account down. They'll be able to, so how hard will it be in a tribulation period to hunt down people that have a fear of God? Well, really easy, because they're the ones not getting the mark of the beast in their hands or their forehead. And how hard is it today to find, how many of you have struggled with, man, how am I going to get away with not having a vaccine certificate to be able to keep a job, to be able to do this? You know, and people have forged the vaccine certificates and done other things to get away. But when they have an electronic system to control the whereabouts of everybody, because your phone gives the whereabouts of everybody, satellite capabilities give the whereabouts of everybody, and you're required to get a mark in your hand or your forehead or you can't do anything, and you walk into a store, instead of saying, have you got a mask on, they say, let me see the name of the Antichrist on your hand. Yeah. And the Bible prophesied this stuff in the case of Daniel 2,500 years ago, in the case of Revelation 1,900 years ago, and we are watching for the first time in history all the capabilities of this to be fulfilled globally, because a world leader can control everybody on the globe. And so then let's get to the good part, verse 26. But the court shall be seated, God's court. Aren't you glad that there's going to be God's court? And they shall take away his dominion, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the angels, saying, now, God, take back the planet And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, to us, saints, who believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior. The saints of the Most High, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. Jesus wins. You know, so who are we for in this, you know, Ukrainian-Russian thing? I'm for Jesus. Because here's my take. If you're for Ukraine, you're for the formation of the global new world order. Because all, what it's all doing is trying to make Russia bow, kowtow, give up its sovereignty for the sake of the formation of the global government. If you're for Russia, you're for the loser. Because we know from a very reliable source, they lose. Anybody that's nationalistic, Korea, China, Russia, anybody that says, I don't like your new world order. I want to just be free. You go do what you want to do. I want to just sit here, sell my oil and natural gas to whoever I want to, grow our own wheat, export wheat, everything else. Stop telling me I have to become part of the new world order and let you corrupt, you know, Satanists rule my land. But they lose, according to the Word of God. And here's how we know it's according to the Word of God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel 9, 26. And after the 62 weeks, you know, I don't have time to get into this. Messiah, Jesus is going to die. Messiah, Jesus, shall be cut off, prophesied 500 some years before Jesus comes on the scene. But not for himself. He's not dying for himself. He died for us. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, this is so important. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem after Jesus was killed? It was the Romans. So the Romans are the people by which this prince is going to come. And in context with this, who is the prince? The prince is the Antichrist. So the Bible is saying in Daniel chapter 9, the Antichrist comes from the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire, in a sense, exported its way of government to the Western world. And so it literally, you know, most people think he's going to come out of Europe, but it could be related to Europe from the Western cultures. And then it says, and then, you know, the people of the prince who is to come, you know, they're going to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and then the Jews are going to be scattered, and at the end it shall be with a flood until the end of wars, desolations are determined. Are there wars and desolations determined upon the human race until Jesus comes back? Jesus said wars and rumors of wars. Revelation 6 says peace will be taken from the world, and the fourth of the world's population is going to die in a war. Isaiah 17 implies that there's going to be nuclear war because the cities of denuded destruction, which is cities of Aurora, will be destroyed, and animals will go in there, but people won't go in and mess with them. And we have an Isaiah 17 study on our website on the YouTube channel. It's an hour long. Psalm 83 on our YouTube. And you can go to our YouTube channel for calvarypo.org. Go to YouTube. Go to videos. Sort by most popular. And there's three of them on the Middle East. Timing of the Ezekiel 38-39 war, Isaiah 17, Psalm 83. And so those are 3 hours that I'm not going to take here. But, and then it says, people, men, will no longer worship the things their hands have made because there's going to be such destruction. Isaiah 17. Kind of like after, for those who were around in 9/11, what did you do the next day? Were you thinking how awesome your football team was, your baseball team, or any of that stuff? No, you're just like, whoa, what just happened? I need to go to church. whatever. You stop really thinking about materialistic things because your whole world just changed. Imagine how it's going to be when peace gets taken from the world and the nukes are flying and people aren't eating and vaporized cities and communications shut down and everything is total chaos. People won't be worshiping the things in their hand. It says that there will be people will be leaving their strong cities by EMP attacks, no power. How many people want to sit in L.A., San Francisco, New York with no power? It's a death trap. And every single one of those cities, everybody will be dead in a short period of time in a complete power outage. They'll be killing each other for the stuff that's in, you know, that hasn't rotted yet. I mean, it'll just be a nightmare. People will be leaving their strong cities because of Israel, and there will be desolation. Now, see, one thing we have to remember is, how does this play in with Israel? And Russia, Israel went on record to say this last week, we're with our ally America in this conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And Russia goes, oh, really? We've allowed you to take out, to have freedom of movement in the Syrian airspace, to take out Iranian weapons and stuff, because we helped you to control yourself from being attacked by people that are wanting your destruction. And now you're not letting us do the same thing. That's what we're doing, is we're trying to keep us from being slaughtered. And so Syrian airspace is closed. And besides that, you took the Golan Heights. You took the Golan Heights from Syria. And so that we're not going to support that anymore. And so that's breeding a war there. And so there could be all kinds of conflict. And I think that ultimately what's really going to get something going is Israel's going to do something, or they're going to be blamed for it no matter what happens. You know, they're going to blame it on Israel, according to Isaiah 17. So Daniel 9:26 makes it clear that, and I'm going to skip 27 because it doesn't apply to our topic at hand. And Revelation 17 I have in there, that's the New Testament saying that the Antichrist is going to be ruling over a 10-nation world empire. And so, why does Satan want to achieve global government in the last days? We've already talked about it. He wants to undo the global, he wants to undo the Babel effect. He wants to deceive the world into thinking global government is the way to go. And let me make an argument for you that the godless people of the world are making in their own little secret association circles, the Trilateral Commission and Bilderberger Group and Council of Foreign Relations and all these deep state mucky-muck billionaires that meet about what do we do for the future of the world. And here's what they think, and it's based on a philosophy that came out of Germany, a guy named Hegel. You know, and they've watched the history of the world just like we can. People want to kill each other. That's what they want to do, always. History is always going to have somebody want to kill. And Hegel said the reason for that is because a government comes to power creating a thesis. But then that thesis, Babylon, rules the world because they took over from the Assyrians. So Babylon rules. Well, that always gives birth to an antithesis. Medo-Persians think, why should he rule the world? Why should they rule the world? And so the antithesis comes up. Medo-Persians and Babylonians go, you can't defeat us. Medo-Persians say, we think we can. And that breeds conflict. They go to war. There's conflict. And out of that conflict rises a new thesis. Now the Medo-Persians are in charge, which gave birth to an antithesis, the Greeks. And then the Greeks say, yeah, we think we can take you. Conflict. And then that gives birth to a new thesis. And so Hegel, the Hegelian dialectic is what I just told you is called. Hegel said, this will never end. And over the centuries, these globalist do-gooders have realized, you know, that's one thing when it's bows and arrows. It's another thing when it's gunpowder. And then it's another thing altogether when it's nuclear weapons. If we keep going down this path, we're going to self-destruct and annihilate the world. We have to do something to stop this cycle of thesis-antithesis conflict. We have to stop this. And so what do we have to do that? We have to get to the root of the problem, nationalism, make America great again. We have to destroy that. We have to badmouth that. We have to teach it out of our children. We have to erase the borders. We have to mix the people. We have to create this situation to where when the final conflict does come, because it will, and we'll want it to come, we want global conflict. We want all the little sheeple, the pawns on the board, to hurt so bad because they can't get their internet. They can't get their bank accounts. They can't buy and sell. They can't, because of conflict, because of this nation's against that nation and this religion's against that religion, and they realize we just blew the world up. And then do something to give us back our food and whatever. Okay, we've got a plan for you. Lay down all your nation, all your national identities. You lay it all down for the sake of the New World Order. And so they think they're going to give us a utopia. And they think that the fact that billions have to die to get there is nothing, because otherwise everybody would have died. So we're good people, because you would all die if we didn't help you. And so now we help you, and some of you get to live if you decide to go along with the plan. So let's read a few of these things. This is highlighted in this article by Michael Snyder. U.S. government just admitted this is a war that will determine who will rule the New World Order. Look to the right of that map that's, you know, kind of a puzzle of the world there. I'm just going to hit some paragraphs here. Under the bold, it says, according to Price, Russia and China also want a world order. China, I think, wants to rule the world. Russia wants to be left alone. I could be wrong, but from my studying and everything, I think Russia just wants to be left alone. China, they want to be able to control the world like we control the world. That's what they want to do. Also want a world order, but he warned that if they win, their world order would be profoundly illiberal. They don't get to, our New World Order guys say, you can't have your world order. We want our New World Order, because our New World Order is different than your New World Order, and we're the ones that are going to make our world order happen. Going back to the bottom bold, first of all, by stating that Russia and China also want a world order, he has tacitly admitted that the United States and the other Western nations desire to have a world order of their own. And he implied that what we are witnessing is a battle over who will ultimately run the world order. So then again, biblically, who wins? The West. How do we know? Daniel chapter 9. That's our biblical view, is the West wins. And people go, man, how can we win against China and Russia and whatever else? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how this war is going to go and everything. But ultimately, according to the Bible, the Antichrist comes out of Europe/West. And then he says on the top of page 2, that should deeply alarm all of us. Yep, we should be alarmed. Because you have powerhouses of people with nuclear weapons and billions of dollars worth of kill people weapons cocked and ready to go, saying, you're not, Russia, you are not gonna win. We are not turning back. See, they could have cut a treaty with them and said, okay, we're not gonna do NATO. Well, that's giving up on the plan. They can't do it. And even if Zelensky wanted to do it, what do you think he's going to be told? You're not going to sign with them. We can replace you. And there's people, Christians, that are talking about how Zelensky's a Jew and God's going to miraculously protect Ukraine and do all this stuff. And no, this is all going to go to a horrible war. That ultimately, a horrible war, that peace gets taken from the world. And by the way, when that peace gets taken from the world, where a fourth of the world's population dies, we're gone for that. And isn't it amazing to be sitting here today thinking that war couldn't be too, it might not be too far off. A war that could just, this nuke gets launched by this guy, and this guy does this, and this does that. And in a short period of time, a fourth of the world's population is dead from all the famine and everything that results from that. And we're gone for that, because Revelation 4 is the rapture of the church. Revelation 6 is peace being taken from the world that results in a fourth of the world's population. And I say that to emphasize, we might be out of here soon. And I say we, okay? Now, if you're all a believer and trusting in Jesus as your Savior, because you know you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell, and that you have sinned against Almighty God, and you need to humble yourself and say, God, forgive me. I don't care if I think I'm a good person. I'm not in your eyes. I'm not a good person, because I sinned against you. And I need to have everlasting life. I want you to forgive me, because I don't want to go be separated from you in a place called hell just because I'm too arrogant to admit my sins against you. I want to humble myself and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. That's we get taken out. For anybody that doesn't want to do that with Jesus, get right with God, you're going to be left behind. Then you're going to be able to see a war where a fourth of the world's population dies and take your chances, you know. How would you like to go to the roulette table and put everything on a 1 in 4 chance? A 3, you know, you have at that point, you have a 3 chance out of 4 to stay alive for that. Shortly followed by, then another third of the world's population dies. So then you're down to 50-50. So, wouldn't it be nice to live in a world where nobody had global domination as their goal? Yeah. And actually, no. I want to live in a world where the person in charge wants to have universal domination. You know why? Because he's benevolent. He's the God of all creation, and he made a way for us to be saved. And nobody gets to mess with him. Nobody gets to mess with his dominion, his power, his kingdom, because we have willingly come into that kingdom with already a heart of humility. I want you to rule my life in this corrupt world. Imagine what it's going to be like. I want you to rule my life in heaven forever. And then he goes on to say, below the bold, of course, I don't want a world order run by Russia or China either. Unfortunately, I don't think that we get to vote. We don't get to vote. Because Satan is behind all this, and he is manipulating, and God is allowing him to. There's no rising up of good guys against bad guys, because the whole world has abandoned any kind of conviction of following the God of the Bible. And so God is saying, you've kicked me out, and I'm leaving. But the little g God, Satan, is coming in to rule over this world and to deceive the masses into a time of trouble the world has never seen. Now, and then it goes right underneath that. It says, now that World War III has begun. Now that World War III has begun, and it is looking like it has begun, things are going to move very quickly. NBC News is reporting that Joe Biden is considering launching massive cyber attacks against Russia. That's going to work perfect. That's going to just put an end to this problem, for sure. What are they going to do? They're going to cyber attack us. It's just... If we start going back and forth with the Russians, eventually we will be pushed to the brink of nuclear war. Now, doesn't that make sense? Russia realizes if I don't win, I'm dead. And so everybody's going jockeying. And so if Russia realizes we're going to lose, what are they going to do? They're going to launch. And if the New World Order is thinking, oh, we're going to lose, what are they going to do? They're going to launch, because this New World Order plan that's been going on for centuries, they're in their end game. They are in their end game to win. And so they'll do anything. And then the reporter on page 3 says, reporter, Putin said the West will face consequences greater than any you have faced in history. Is he threatening a nuclear strike? This is what a reporter asked Biden. He goes, I have no idea. So, he's made it clear. He's got nuclear weapons on the ready, fingers on the trigger right now, tonight, as we're speaking. And I don't know how it's going to escalate or what's going to happen, except for what we covered today. Big picture, 30,000 feet. The world is entering into a time where the globalists are apparently taking over. And they're going to accomplish that goal. Exactly how this war, you know, makes all that happen. And see, the thing is if... Do you think Biden could say, okay, stop, because I care about Americans and I don't want us to have to, you know, not have wheat on our shelves and our gas prices go up to $10 a gallon, destroy our own country and all this other stuff. You know, why would he not do that? Because the globalists want all that chaos. Why? Because the survivors will be saying, we can't let this ever happen again. And we're going to relinquish all of our freedoms, forget our constitutional rights. We're going to forget everything. Just give me back normal. And they want suffering. They want chaos. They have their tunnels. They have their bomb shelters. They have their ways of communicating in the future. They have they've planned this. They know how to come out as the ashes of the conflict settle down to the ground and to continue to take over. and to rule the world under the inspiration of Satan and his plan is to rule the world through a bad guy so that he can destroy all the people of God and say to God, see, you don't win. And he just doesn't realize Jesus beats him at the very end. Jesus beats him at the very end where Jesus says, had I waited any longer, there would be no life left on earth. And what Jesus is really winning is every single soul that says, you know what, I've read the Bible, and Antichrist, I know you're telling me I'm not going to be able to buy or sell unless I get your mark, but you know what, I don't care about this life. I don't care if you kill me. I don't care if you chop my head off. I'm going to worship Jesus because I'm going to give everlasting life. And see, every time, even today, when somebody gives their soul over to Jesus, Jesus says, no, I win. I want another one. You don't get them all. And in this history, no matter what you are doing on this temporary world, Satan, I'm getting people that love and fear me despite your offers of dominance and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I win. The ones that want to come in with me, I win them and I have them forever. And you've got your hell and all the people that wanted to join you in hell, they're going to go that way, but we are going to live in heaven with our Creator and God who made a way for us to have everlasting life with Him. So with that, and I put in your notes Ezekiel 38:39, because that is not what this is going to go to immediately. And that's again on our webpage. Takes an hour. It's an hour teaching that we don't have here. But if there's any other questions, I'd like to open it up for that for another half hour or so. Oh, yeah, and so... And Dustin is going to, and this is number 16, and cue it up whenever it's... So, anybody have a question?
What's your YouTube page?
YouTube...
So, hold on, we need to get it mic'd because it's going to get recorded.
Oh, what's your YouTube page?
Okay, the YouTube page, the easiest way to get to it is go to our main webpage, which is calvarypo.org. And then you go to the YouTube icon, which is a little arrow, kind of a... right pointing arrow, click on that. That sends you to our YouTube channel. And then if you click on videos, then it gives all of them, and you can filter to most popular, most recent, whatever you want to, and then they'll be at the top.
So you said this is not necessarily leading directly to Ezekiel 38:39 war. I have heard teachers point out, however, that it makes sense for Russia to take over Ukraine because that provides a geographical route down through to the south.
Yep.
So what is your take on that?
Okay. Now, so when, you know, and this is speculation on my part. I mean, I'm answering, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but let's go to Ezekiel 38, verse 1. See, and there's... For 40 years of my life, I've been listening to prophecy teachers talk about this war, Ezekiel 38:39, also known as the Gog-Magog War. And I'm not as super of an expert on where these people landed, except for how I've been taught, and it makes sense to me, that Gog and Magog is talking about Russia. So some people... strongly debate that and give a bunch of other reasons for that, but let's assume that it is, that Gog here is Russia. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And they'll say, oh, Rosh is Russia, Meshach is, you know, a name, you know, close to a city, Tubal is Tblinsk, a city in Russia. And say, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed in great company with bucklers and shields and all of them handling swords, Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, which is Ethiopia and parts of Sudan, North Sudan, people at Kush, Libya, which is Libya today, are with them, all of them with a shield, and Gomer, which is Turkey, and its troops are with them also. So... Now let me back up and just go back to what could happen to get global government. This coming war will set the world up for global government. Russia loses, but they still have millions of people. They don't get completely annihilated with the wars that are coming. And they're going to be bothered that they are now going to be subjugated by the growing powers of the New World Order. The Antichrist isn't on the scene yet. But they've lost, and these things are happening. Israel's part of that New World Order, because they are. Their government is for the New World Order. They would love to have a New World Order of promised peace so that they don't have to worry about, you know, Iran or whatever people nuking them. So they've been deceived into the New World Order. And Russia is gonna be ticked at Israel too. And they're gonna see that the key to trying one more time to try and undo the march to New World Order. So they lose this battle, but they see as it's deforming, something happens. God says he puts a hook in their jaw and turns them around. So they've been defeated and they get turned around. Something happens to make them think they can try one more time. And so they come down. And now, before that happens, we can tell from Scripture, the world's been denuked. Now imagine, how hard would that be if a bunch of nukes go off and millions, hundreds of millions have died, and the people say, somehow fix this. They go, well, everybody has to have their bios, nuclear, chemical weapons eliminated by the United Nations. The European Commission eliminate weapons. How many people are going to debate that? Nobody. So in order to have global peace, we need to make it so nobody can do this again. And so Israel's going to be disarmed. If they didn't use them in the coming war, you know, they have 200 nuclear weapons. It's been projected that, speculated they have 200 nuclear weapons. So let's say they use them all, or they use some, and then everybody gets denuked, because if everybody's denuked, we can't have this happen again. And so Russia's not, this horde of people are now going to invade Israel. And then it goes on to say, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be guard. After many days you'll be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those bought back from the sword. What land was bought back from the sword? Israel. And gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which has long been desolate. Well, 2,000 years of being desolate. This is Ezekiel prophesying around 2,500 years ago that these Jews are going to be back in the land after years of being desolate, after them being gone and bought back from the sword. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them are dwell safely. Are the Jews dwelling safely today? No. They know at any time they could have a nuke coming in. They are struggling every day to make sure that something isn't going to happen to annihilate them. But if this coming war, the dust settles, the Jews are still alive. Again, Isaiah 17, it says the glory of Jacob will wane, meaning the Jews are going to be severely hurt in this coming war. But they're still around. And they see that the whole rest of the world is being denuked and demilitarized for the promises in the New World Order and bringing peace to the world. They'll go, finally, you know, nobody's going to be allowed to decide, let's go kill a Jew. And so they'll be living in peace. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Verse 9. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan, and you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars or gates, to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations. You have acquired livestock and goods and dwellings. So they're going to come down to take a spoil, to get rid of the Jews, and I think to thwart what is progressing into a new world order. And what destroys this army that's been accumulated? God himself. Now see, when people say, any day now, it could be Ezekiel 38, 39. Does Israel have do they have nuclear weapon capability? Yes, they do. Do they have delivery systems to allow that to fight their enemy? Yes. They have surface-to-surface missiles. They have capable planes and everything else that can deliver them. And so, now think about this. If there was a horde of people from Turkey, Libya, Ethiopia, Russia, you know, probably some of the Caucasus Mountains, the Tajikistan and all the stands that are there. Some people say, see, it's not Russia proper, it's those former Muslim countries. Okay, so maybe it's them too. But if there's hundreds of thousands of troops coming, would that bother Israel today? No. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'll get together. And then, poof, one bomb. But if you've been disarmed and you have no military capability, you have no nukes, and all of a sudden you have a horde of people coming in, you're going, whoa, we're all going to die. And God says, no, you're not, because I'm going to absolutely destroy that army. And so, yes, Russia would have to use Ukraine, as you can tell from this map. How is Russia going to get down there, joining with the others? They could do it through Ukraine. There's other places. They can go through Georgia, actually, down there. They don't have to have Ukraine. There's other ways to get down there. But when they do, they think they're going to undo the Western New World Order plan, is my guess. And they find out, no, you're not. And they get destroyed by God because they're going after the Jewish people. And God has promised the Jewish people stick around forever. You cannot annihilate them. And this land is theirs. I brought them in the land. They're not going to get out again. Promises all over the Bible. And so God's going to keep his promise. And they're going to be annihilated. And actually, we know it's just before the temple worship starts, because it says in Ezekiel 39 that for 7 months, people are going out to bury the dead. Now, it says the army comes like a cloud to cover the land. And I've heard Amir, which I love Amir in his teaching, he says, you know, that could be missiles instead of people. Well, you don't bury missile casings. And missile casings don't have bones. And it says for 7 months, all of the Jews are going to be going out to this horde that God has eliminated by his divine hand, just like the 185,000 Assyrians. The 185,000 Assyrians, boom! Just God just wiped them out in a night. And all these. And the Jews are going to go out there to bury for 7 months. And then they set up a special burial team, because the Jews don't want to touch a bone to bury it, because after 7 months there's all nothing but bones. They don't want to touch a bone to bury it, because they want to cleanse the land for what? To get into temple worship for the first time in 2,000 years. So this is a war. Ezekiel 38-39 is just before the Antichrist confirms a covenant with many for 1 7-year period of time to allow the Jews, I think part of that covenant, speculation, that covenant is going to say, you Jews, because of what just happened and happened in this war, where the Jews get to survive Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, I'm going to let you build your temple. And I'm going to let you worship by animal sacrifice for the first time in 2,000 years, and you alone are allowed to say your God is God. Everybody else has to do global religion, global government. And that'll be the covenant that he makes with everybody for a 7-year period of time, and then breaks it 3.5 years into it and starts wiping out the Jews. So that's the timing of this, because it's right then at that war that now all of a sudden they're worried, I don't want to touch a dead bone, because in Jewish law, if you've touched a dead bone, you become unclean, you can't go to the temple and worship. And so they want to be clean. They want some Gentiles to go finish. Oh, we'll mark the bone. There it is. But I'm not touching it. You guys go, you Gentiles go bury it. We're going to the temple. I shared that with Chuck Misser, by the way, when he was saying this is nuclear battlefield cleanup at a prophecy conference one. And when I started sharing him, you know, Chuck, you've taught me to interpret the scriptures based on Jewish roots understanding. You know, instead of, this is typical nuclear battlefield cleanup. And I started rattling off what I just told you. And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, this is temple worship stuff. And then he went to the East Coast to a pastor friend of mine's, you know, where my pastor friend attended that. And he goes, this is typical nuclear battlefield cleanup. So it didn't. I mean, it convinced him, but he had his tapes and his books and everything based on it. And by the way, being a nuke, ex-Navy nuke, and Brian, ex-Navy nuke, can vouch for this. You don't have everybody go into right after nukes have gone off, you don't have everybody in the country go to bury the people, because that's when the radiation is the highest. You know, so it isn't typical battlefield cleanup, because the radiation levels exponentially decay after a nuke has gone off. So you wait for a while before you send everybody outside to go do something. and bones don't get more contaminated. You know, the bones are not contaminated because the contamination is on your skin. Your skin rots away and the rain and weather takes it away, so the bones are actually less contaminated than the body was at first. So it's not typical nuclear battlefield cleanup. It's spiritual cleansing of the land. Yeah, Brian.
Hold on, Brian. Got to talk into this thing.
Since you're talking about speculations, what about Damascus? Damascus is supposed to be wiped out and destroyed.
Yeah, well, we'll go to Isaiah. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. And again, spend an hour on this. Isaiah 17, but we'll do a couple of verses here. This is a prophecy never before fulfilled in script, never before fulfilled in history. How do we know this? Because it says, this is Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. It will be a ruinous heap. Has Damascus ever been defeated and leveled as a city? Never in history. You can Google on Damascus and it will say, I think it competes with Aleppo as the oldest and continuously inhabited city of the world. Never been destroyed. Bible says in Isaiah 17 it's going to be completely destroyed. Damascus will cease from being a city. It will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Now, commentators go, why is Isaiah talking about cities of Aroer? Because there is an Aroer on the east side of Jordan that was actually, if you paid attention, go, yeah, that was in Dustin's study today in Deuteronomy. And why is it cities of Aroer? And this seems to be between Israel and Damascus, and so, but if you go on a word study of what Aroer means, it means denuded destruction. And I confirm that with two Jews, you know, Hebrew-speaking Jews living in Israel, one being the mayor of Shiloh, that word means denuded destruction. So there will be cities of denuded destruction. Now, if you look at a before and after of Hiroshima, what would you have said? Whoa, somebody wiped that place clean. And that was just a 20-kiloton bomb or thereabouts. Try one megaton bomb. And you know, now, because in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, you saw some brick buildings and some was still there. But you amp it up a little bit, nothing. There'd be nothing. And it says that these cities of denuded destruction will be places where flocks go down, which will lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Now, think about that for 2,700 years since that, or 2,700 years since that's been written. People would have thought, who destroys a city and animals go in there and people don't go off and, you know, shoot them, deers, elk, whatever else. You know, what do you mean they're going to sit down and nobody is going to go into that destroyed city? You always go into a destroyed city and start making everything over again. Unless it has yellow magenta tape on it. Unless it has radiation signs on it. In fact, everybody's freaked out that the Russians took over Chernobyl. Did you guys hear about that this week? The Russians, when they invaded, which is on, you'll see in your map here. See, look at Chernobyl. It's right above Kiev. I always heard it when I was growing up, it was Kiev. Now they're saying it's Kiev. So we should say it the way people would call it. But see, Chernobyl is on the road from Belarus down to Kiev. You know, you go from Chernobyl east and you get in there. And so, I think the reason they're taking it is because what would be the worst thing that could happen is for terrorists, Russians, to be blamed for going in there and blowing the sarcophagus apart and spreading radioactive contamination everywhere, which is what would happen. They spent, you know, the world invested over $1 billion to put the new cover over Chernobyl because of, you know, things I don't have time to get into, but the reactor, the melted down reactor was going critical at times when water would get into certain areas, allowing, you know, fission products to go in. They were freaking out, and so they built this thing, you know, several hundred yards away and then moved it to go over to keep the weather out. And if you blew that thing up and blew up inside, you would spread radioactive contamination again and blame it on the Russians, and then you win. You know, and so Russia, I think, this is my speculation, They took over it, so nobody does that. Yeah, and then, so, just a second, let me finish this. And the, in verse 3, the fortress, this war between Damascus and Israel, will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus. Syria will no longer have the capital of Damascus, because Damascus is gone. And the remnant of Syria, those that are left, that didn't die, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel. I think when I did the study on this, I think it was 18 million. You know, the YouTube has it right because I'm not prepared for this. But I think they have 18 million, and Israel has about 7, 8 million Jews. And so that would mean that 10 million Syrians are going to die if Israel only, you know, keeps 7 million. You know, so the glory of Jacob will wane. It goes on to say the glory of Jacob wane. But Israel's going to be hit. The fortresses of Ephraim, northern Israel's military bases, will be hit. And so they'll cease to exist. And so could that happen in this war? Absolutely. It could happen so quick. And it could be over, Russia saying, Syria, go ahead and attack the Golan Heights. Because for Israel, Syria to take the Golan Heights is the same as NATO taking Ukraine. It is, that's a fighting job, because we know from the Golan Heights, you can't annihilate us. And so we're going to fight right now, because they have the Masada complex, the Samson complex, where, you know, we're not going to go down. We're not going to allow you to slaughter us. We will be like Samson, and we'll take the world down with us. We will be like Masada. You know, the Romans trying to take out the 1,000 people that had fled to Masada after the destruction of Jerusalem. And the Romans are saying, okay, we're going to come and fight you and subjugate you and turn you into slaves. And they said, no, we'd rather commit suicide. And when the Romans breached the wall that final day, they realized everybody's dead. There's nobody to fight. So we will commit suicide rather than let you destroy the Jewish people again. And every Jewish soldier is required to go to Masada to think about that very fact as part of the military training. This is how we will defend Israel. We die before they take us. Now, John. Wait, you got to wait till the microphone gets over there. We'll ask. Okay, the question is, do they even take the school children up to Masada? I don't remember that. Could be true. But I know for sure they take the military soldiers. Every soldier in their training goes to Masada. So, John.
There has been some, I guess it's called prophecy, but it's in Scripture, that everywhere that the sole of your foot lands will be yours. That goes all the way over to Eastern Arabia. Where is that in this whole synopsis here?
Okay, so, you know, the scriptures were for the Jews when they were saying, when you're going into the promised land, where your feet are, that's where the land is going to be. But see, God defined the promised land. And the promised land of Israel is not Saudi Arabia.
Well,
so
actually, they have found it.
Right. I know what you're saying.
Indications that their feet have...
Yeah, they have. There's archaeological evidence that in areas of what's today Saudi Arabia, in the places where they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that they etched into rock footprints. And so, why do people etch into rock, you know, chisel into rock footprints? And the conjecture is those were the Jews wandering around in the wilderness, saying, "We've been here. You know, our feet have been here." And they've used that archaeologically to see where, you know, it's hard to tell from the scriptures exactly where these places were that it lists off at the end of Numbers with where they went. That is not the promised land, because God had defined the promised land for them. He told them exactly where the promised land is. So.
The promised land is from Euphrates to the river of Egypt.
Yeah, Euphrates to the river of Egypt. And then west of the Jordan, and the 2.5 tribes on the east side of Jordan. So,
currently, I mean, they're putting sanctions against Russia, but one of the things that's not being sanctioned is, and Biden has begged Putin over this for several months, that they're currently selling 600,000 barrels of oil to the United States every day. And so we're funding the invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Accordingly, which is kind of really strange.
Right. Which, I mean, and here again, what did President Trump do when he took office? In a short period of time, what did he do for the first time in decades for America? Huh? Well, he also made us energy independent. He made us energy independent for the first time in decades and decades. Now, what are some of the things that we're hearing? Well, if we do this to Russia, well, they provide this and they provide that and this person provides this. What is that teaching all of us? We're all one family. We're all one world. We can't be fighting with each other because you fight here, you starve there. You know, you fight them here, they starve you. You get oil from every place. You get computer chips from every place. You get these strategic minerals and strategic elements, you know, titanium and everything else. And so it's teaching us any conflict creates horrors that affect us. So all of a sudden, well, can't we just do a war like Iraq and Afghanistan? Can't we just go over there and tell those people what to do and keep our gas prices at $2 a gallon? So this time it's teaching us, no, everything hurts when we do any war. And so they're going to let it hurt, kill. And then the survivors are going to say, let's not do that anymore. So they want us to be dependent on everybody else to get ready for the global utopia that they promise us. So, yes, Eli, go ahead. You got to speak into the microphone now.
Yeah, I know. A couple things I was seeing in the news this week. I'm not sure if you have any different takes on them, or maybe these are misinformation, disinformation, whatever. But I was reading that earlier this week, Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, actually did come out and say, if you pull back, we will sign a treaty with you that we will never join NATO. And one clip I saw earlier this week was Putin openly saying, hey, I want to rebuild the USSR. Do you have thoughts on either of those?
Well, what I saw is that he hinted that he would be willing to do that and immediately changed his mind. So I didn't hear about the quote of Putin saying, nope, I'm rebuilding the USSR. Does Hannah, did you have something on that? Wait a second, because anybody can chime in here with anything. And if Zelensky did say that, and again, we have to remember, we don't even really know what really happens, because we only hear what the media tells us is being said and happening. But if he said that and then got turned around, what do you think did that? You know, he's a puppet of the West. No, I read that Zelensky has over $1 billion in his own account offshore. I don't know if it's true, but people are saying, so bribery, extortion, have we seen bribery and extortion affect our country's politics and court system and everything else? And somebody can sit there and go, you know, maybe we can just make a deal with the Russians. And he gets told, oh, no, you don't. But again, I don't know if he really said that. So what have you heard, Hannah?
So I don't know if it was on Amir's or Jan Markell's Telegram channel, but there was they posted a clip where Zelensky was actually saying NATO could take them as a member even now because Ukraine still exists.
Yeah.
And it's I guess it's the one thing that I've never really understood through this whole thing, other than someone in the World Economic Forum is pulling the strings. Ukraine has quite a lot of natural resources and good things they're giving the world. So other than Russia, obviously, why would NATO not want them to be in the fold? You know, power numbers. If they're really scared of Russia, which has been the excuse this whole time, oh, we're scared of Russia, we're scared of Russia, safety in numbers. It's kind of what we've always been taught. So why would you not want another country to build the arsenal against Russia?
They do. But the reason that, and again, speculation. So why wouldn't they have done it? Why didn't they do it a year ago? Say, okay, you're NATO now. And, huh?
I forget when it was, but it was something like five.
Yeah, you gotta say it into the mic.
It was actually like 5 or 10 years ago, Ukraine tried to join NATO, and NATO actually turned them down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but see, they turned them down. But see, why would they do that? If they do want them in there, why would they turn them down? Because you can guarantee through the things that they've been doing, you could get this war. You could get this war started. They want the war. They want this war. And then they can escalate it that quick by declaring, you know what, Ukraine, today you're NATO, and we're implementing Article 5, and therefore all 30 of us are going to come against Russia because Russia did this. And then it's full-scale war. So there's a benefit to starting out this way and to let Russia be somewhat weakened through this, and who cares about those Ukrainian pawns that are dying in the streets, because we can accomplish something. If I was a globalist, I would do this. I would leave them out, get this war going, knowing Russia would do it, and then escalate it at the moment that you want to. But I don't know. I don't know that that's what they're thinking. Only God knows what's really going on. Huh? Only God knows. But again, for us, who are we for? Jesus. What do we want to tell people? Instead of getting all nationalistic with Ukraine, don't you realize that Ukraine is part of the New World Order plan to bring about global government, which is not what our Jesus wants to have happen? He wants us to be nation states, and so you're contributing to the development of the kingdom of the Antichrist. It would be like, why are you, Franklin Graham, going on TV telling the millions of the faithful to go get a jab and get a vaccine certificate to get us all databased into the New World Order? It's like, you got to be kidding me. Not to mention that there's less of evidence that the stuff will kill you. It's like you're playing. We Christians should not be egging on the development of the New World Order, unless you're like some and say, the quicker it goes, the quicker we're gone. You know, so we can have that motivation. But for the sake of slowing down, we're supposed to hold back, to resist, to be in opposition to the wickedness and the evil that's coming. So now we've gone an hour and a half. Technically, we should end. Does anybody have a burning question still, though? Or should we close in prayer? You good?
I have another one. I don't know if anybody else has any opinion on this, or Pastor Kevin. Is there any stock in, if you look at a map of where, and I just learned this today, apparently the United States has like 11 facilities in Ukraine that are bioterrorism facilities.
Yep.
And Russia is bombing. If you do an
yep.
overlay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all know at this point we don't trust the United States, our own government. What Russia's doing obviously is bad, but I kind of can't fault for Russia for saying, you know what, this whole United States-Ukraine partnership thing, we're concerned because there's all this bioterrorism on our borders.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I sympathize. I read that article, too. And, in fact, how many of you saw that island that there was a cruiser, a Russian cruiser, off a small little island in the Black Sea, and there was a handful of Ukrainian soldiers that were on the island, and the cruiser said, hey, give up right now. You know, otherwise we're going to attack. And they, you know, they basically swore back at the Russians and said, you know, forget you, in using other vernacular in Russian. And then some stories say then they bombed them and they wiped them all out. Others said that they bombed them but then came and took the survivors and their whatever. But what was on that island, and this makes total sense, why is it such a strategic island? It's a bioweapons facility that's separated by water, so you can do your level 4 bioweapons development on this island, and Russia knows it, and they're taking out bioweapon labs. There's bioweapons labs all over America, all over the world, that gave us COVID, ready to give us the next one, and if Russia is doing that, which is, there's reports that that's what's happening, that's what they're targeting, then praise Jesus, they're getting rid of these psychos that are making biological weapons. Comments are allowed.
If you're my age and older, you were raised with Russia as the bad guy.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of maybe off politics, more like on social media and what everybody's talking about. It's stand with Ukraine, pray for Ukraine, Russia bad, Russia bad. And it goes along with how most of us were always kind of programmed to hate Russia. So you find yourself in situations where people completely uninformed about what's really going on, and you can see just this bizarre movement of sentimentality for the Ukraine, and just it's kind of bizarre, really. I don't know if anybody else has really noticed that, you know. And yes, do we want to pray for the Ukrainian people? Of course we do. The missionaries that are there, and for the Russian people. They're all pawns. They're all stuck just the way we are with bad government. So I don't know. I just wanted to...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's why I wanted to do this. Because there is that whole Russia bad, you know, we defeated them in the Olympics, you know, and there's in our hockey and, you know, all this stuff, everything. And that was true. They were spreading communism around the world and everything, but they gave it up. You know, they stopped doing it. They just drew their arms in and they wanted to stay their own country. There's a map that's just making a spoof. You know, Russia wants to rule the world. Look how close they put their country to all these military facilities of NATO. You know, I mean, NATO is right on their board. They show all first strike capability, NATO things around there. And Russia has not been invading people. We are getting ready to invade people. And so I grew up with, my dad making a radioactive dosimeter at the kitchen table off of some magazine, telling him how to do it with tinfoil because we were going to get nuked any moment. And he wanted to be able to, you know, look at how much radiation level we were getting because we were that close to nuclear war during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I grew up with all that. I grew up with bad Russia. I was in the Navy when it was bad Russia. We followed bad Russians in the Navy to try and keep them from nuking us and all that stuff during the Cold War. But the truth has made me change to see the biblical reality that Satan's against all of us to create this world order into a new world order. And that new world order is affecting everybody. And we need to be on the side of resisting Satan's plan by saying, you know, no, why play into the hands of the globalists with our affections? So we should be saying the Ukrainians should have empathized with the Russian security needs and signed a document that said we're not going to be NATO so that you don't have to worry about us bringing in first strike nuclear weapons to kill you. And tell your president to stop saying, as soon as I become NATO, I'm going to use nuclear weapons. And he actually, a few weeks ago, said, and I will vaporize all the Russians that try and attack us. Yeah, so Russia listens to that. Oh, really? President of Ukraine, he's going to be NATO. He's going to bring in nuclear weapons. He's going to vaporize us all. Oh, okay.
I just want to say one thing real quick. And that is, you know, so we're going to have these wars going on. What does that mean for us here in the U.S.? What does that mean for you here all by your lonesome, you know, here in Port Orchard, Washington? Gas prices are going to go up. Food prices are going to go up. More shortages, all these other things. That's what we're going to have to face. That's what we're going to have to deal with, at least in the here and now. And so... as long as you have your faith and trust in Jesus, you know, let them do what they want. Let these things happen. You have no control over them anyway. And we are taught and told and actually commanded that we are not to have a spirit of fear. We're not to have a spirit of anxiety. We have our faith and trust in Jesus, and He is our refuge. He is our refuge. So.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, we could sit there, I'm in the tribulation, I can't get gas for my car. No. It could get bad. We could not have gas. We could not, and then you just take a breath and you go, I know I'm going someplace where that doesn't matter. And someday I'm going to go there, maybe soon. Now, Winston said, we need to all head for the shipyard. And what he means is, when the sirens go off, if there are any, then what you want to do is go there, because that's going to be ground zero, and then you just don't have to worry about anything a few seconds later. So, close enough, yes. Yes. I mean, you could say, I wonder what the Russians are using. 1 megaton, what's the radiation, you know, what's the 100% kill radius? And, oh, I actually don't have to go all the way down to the shipyard. I'm fine in Port Orchard. So, we're all going to die. In fact, I'll close with this. I'll close with this, and then we'll pray. When I had my hand surgery, my pre-op nurse, I was just right away starting to witness to her, feel out where she's at with things, and I realized she was all in on all the COVID thing and everything else. And so I said, so, and I was feeling out whether she was a Christian, so what's your escape plan? That's what I asked her. And she says, well, we're getting chickens, and we got a generator, and we got this, and we do this, and we have 2.5 acres. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm not really thinking that escape plan, because you know what, Amanda, we're all going to die. And the problem then is, what happens when you die? My escape plan is, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. And that is my escape plan, because all this stuff is happening and it's going to get worse. Now, she didn't bite on that, making me realize that she wasn't there. And so we had more discussion, and her mom had been a Christian, and was a Christian, raised in a Christian home. And so she had great discernment. She was just really had great discernment about what's going on, but she didn't have the discernment that I have to lay my life down for Jesus because nothing else matters. So, yeah. So I hope everybody has the right escape plan. If you don't, you should be digging a bomb shelter right now, stocking it up with Costco food. They have a lot of freeze-dried was in there the other day. Stock it all up, lots of water, and just really hope. Yeah, don't do that. Get right with Jesus. It's going to be okay. Father, we thank you that God, again, you have given us your prophetic word, that we are not left as orphans here on this earth. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us your word. We can see how this is progressing to the point where we know we are in the days leading up to the very last of the last days. We are that generation, Lord. Just like the generation who knew that by the prophecies of Daniel, the Messiah had to be coming very soon, because you told him how long it would be through the prophet Daniel before he would show up. And we now are living in the generation where we know you're about to come again, that soon the world is being plunged into a time of Jacob's trouble and misery like the world has never seen. And yet you have promised to save us, not physically, but spiritually, from any harm, because someday we're going to be with you for all of eternity and your kingdom will never end. In Jesus' name, amen. And also, Lord Jesus, just help us to have a heart for the Russians and the Ukrainians that are losing family members and everything else that's going on over there in that part of the world. God bless you. Thanks for coming.